You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. We are talking this week with CEOs and leaders from across the Capital Region about leadership. What's in the portfolio of these leaders? We're going to find out in Leaders Portfolio. I also want to remind you to nominate a business or individual right now for the 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards for Business Leader of the Year and Leadership Business of the Year. Maybe you have a client, a boss, maybe you're a leader. You want to just apply yourself. We love it. LeadersPortfolio.com. We want to hear who you think is the best in this area, or maybe it's an audio cast you've heard, one of the CEOs that you've heard, but send them in. We want to hear. On Leaders Portfolio today, the president, CEO, and owner of Capital Concierge, Linda Ellis. She received Smart CEO's Brava Women Business Achievement Award. Also, the chairman and CEO of Harley Stanfield, Dr. Cedric Franklin. Harley Stanfield was ranked number 3 on the Inc. 500 list, and he was ranked number 1 in America's Black minority-owned companies. Our first guest in our Leaders Portfolio studio today, the CEO of Eloqua, Joe Payne. Eloqua was ranked number 594 in the recent Inc. 5000. It's headquartered in Vienna, Virginia, has approximately 250 employees. Welcome, Joe, to Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Eloqua automates the science of marketing. How so?
Well, we help marketers to help organizations who sell to businesses by letting them send email, letting them track leads, helping them do nurturing campaigns. So we take marketing, which has typically been a creative process, and we apply some science to it by tracking all of the people that you sell to and letting organizations know which of their marketing is working and who is responding to their marketing.
And how did you get into this?
Well, it's interesting for me, Rebecca. I grew up in marketing. I love marketing. I worked at companies like Procter & Gamble and Coca-Cola in marketing roles and was a chief marketing officer for a local software company here in Washington. And then I started running companies as CEO. And so when I got an opportunity to run a company that was changing the way marketing is done, it was sort of the perfect intersection for me personally, because I think what we're doing at Eloqua is really changing the way marketers approach marketing today, and the way that they it's very different than anything they've done in the last 100 years.
And your relationship to Eloqua was at what point did you come to Eloqua?
It's a good question. I joined a little over 3 years ago now, and we were about a $10 million company at the time. We're about a $50 million company today, and actually we're number 88 on the Fast 500
list. Oh, you're moving up.
We moved up in the last year. We just got announced, and so I was up in New York, and we closed the NASDAQ couple weeks ago with some of the other Fast 500 companies. But 88 means we're the 88th fastest growing company over the last 5 years in North America, so we're pretty proud of that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, and speaking of NASDAQ, your platform handles more transactions per day than the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange combined.
That's right. It's amazing. We track every user that comes onto our customer's website. So if one of our customers, for example, is ADP, and ADP has literally hundreds of thousands of people who come to their website every year, we track every click that those users make, and we store that in a database for ADP so that they can segment that information and market to those people and sell them only the things that they want. So, for example, if someone wants payroll services, ADP knows, hey, they've been looking at our website at payroll services, versus if they want some other kind of HR services that maybe they sell. So it really helps them. But that's a lot of transactions. We do over 1 billion transactions per day on our platform.
And what's your particular skill set? I know it's marketing, but is it measurement? You have an MBA from Duke.
Yes,
so
that's right.
You love measurement.
I think what we do at Eloqua is we help our customers measure their marketing and whether it's successful or not. And so I try to, that's a real passion of mine, having measurable metrics, whether it's goals for my children and what they're trying to do and trying to get them to put numbers against that, or whether it's how we run our bonus plan at Eloqua, which is based entirely on the metrics and the numbers. But we really believe in measuring success and setting goals that can be measured.
And speaking of measurement, you also pay out your employees bonuses in measurements.
Yeah, what's interesting about that is that it's the first time I've ever seen this at a company. We have no MBOs. We have no soft metrics for our employees. We basically set our business plan, and then we say, okay, we all get paid against the same three metrics: new sales, net new sales, customer satisfaction, and cash flow of the company. And, you know, everyone from the receptionist to the CEO gets paid on those same exact metrics, and they're all measurable. There's nothing squishy about them. And the idea here is that, you know, if one person does their job but the company doesn't hit its numbers, then they're not successful. And so it really develops a whole team approach, which makes people actually help each other, train each other, you know, find a way to make each other successful. And also it also means that if someone's not carrying their weight, it affects your bonus and your pay. And so those people get weeded out pretty quickly. So it's a great environment of high achievers. And we really believe in the metrics that we put out there.
Have you learned to hire better over time?
Well, of course. I mean, it's you know, one of the things, nobody's perfect at hiring, but you ask, you know, what's my skill set? I think the CEO skill set is first and foremost hiring great people and building a great team. And then it's motivating those people and directing those people and getting them excited. But it's all around the people. And I've made plenty of hiring mistakes. I continue to make those hiring mistakes. I think what happens, though, is you get better at, when you make a mistake, identify it early and make a change and move on. And it's not because the person's bad or that you're dumb in hiring them. It's just sometimes you make a bad call or sometimes they're not a great fit for you. But making that decision early is one of the most important things.
And prior to this, you had a number of different positions. You were chief marketing officer at MicroStrategy, and you also were president and CEO of iDefense, a VeriSign company. You were president and CEO of eSecurity and president and CEO of eGrail. So you've had kind of a mix of backgrounds.
Yeah, I think, you know, any kind of entrepreneur that's run different businesses, most of mine that I've run are in the software business and the technology space, so that's good because I've gotten a lot of experience in that area. But anybody who's had those multiple experiences, it's great because you make a lot of mistakes along the way, you learn from those mistakes, and you apply all that. And so I think with each of those jobs, I kind of get better at what I'm doing and become a better leader. Because I've learned, you know, what works and what doesn't work in a variety of different industries with a variety of different kinds of customers.
Do you think there's a good amount? You think there's like an average of like someone should make X amount of mistakes over 5 years that lose money for the company? Because you've read these books, right? There's a book there out there that said, you know, 20% of what you're doing should be new R&D. And if it's not, you know, you're not making enough risk, and so you're not making enough profit. Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah. It's funny. I wish there was a formula that would be that simple. I think what we do say to our team, you know, we'd rather you make mistakes of commission rather than omission. So we'd rather you make mistakes by trying things and committing errors than by sitting back and not taking risks and doing things. And we honestly, we really do celebrate it when we screw something up, and we do it all the time, and because we try to figure out what do we learn from that and what do we do differently. And I think the key for a fast-growing company like ours is to adjust very quickly. And so the pace at our company is very fast. And if we might add a new product or change a price on a product, and 4 months later realize it's not working, we change it. We're not stuck on anything. And I think that's a really important part of my leadership style.
What's the biggest mistake you've made that you can share with us that you were able to get over and learn from it and actually really learn from it?
Oh, wow. I've made so many. I think the one that comes to mind as a venture-backed entrepreneur is I raised money one time at a very high valuation, and I really sold a new investor into the company, and probably didn't show them all the warts. And then when they got to the company and discovered all the warts, our relationship didn't go very well, and that person was a board member. So I think today what I've one of the learnings from that is, in all aspects of business, but particularly when you're getting new investors, make sure they see the worst things first, and that if they're surprised, the surprises are pleasant. Mm-hmm. And that tends to lend itself to a better working relationship in the future.
Excellent. No, that's great to learn from that. I'm going to ask you now what your leadership philosophy is.
I think I would say I'm all about being honest and straightforward with people, but setting stretch goals and, you know, setting up an environment where you hire really fantastic people, you get the best people you can find, and you set stretch goals for them, but then you're brutally honest with them as to how they're doing in that process and also allowing for them to make mistakes in that. So I don't know if that is any particular philosophy, but it's served me well. And again, that being straightforward and having tough conversations with people and being willing to listen to tough conversations come back my way, that served me very well.
Excellent. And talk about, you're having growth in hard times and you're in the private sector, you're selling to the private sector, which, you know, is harder to do, obviously, in this economic crisis. Why do you think you've been able to maintain growth in this economic climate, this tough economic climate?
It has been tough, but we've been affected like everybody else. I mean, we were growing at 70-80% a year, and last year, 2009, we only grew 30%. So,
tough year.
We felt like it was a tough year. But part of it is, the main thing is that our market is brand new and it's changing. You know, Google came along, organized all the world's information, and now buyers go online. When they want to buy something, they go online. So if you're buying a 401k plan for your company, you're going to go online and Google 401k plans, and you're going to do an online dialogue with all the different providers out there. And what Eliqua does is we read all of that activity and all that language so that people can sell to you what things you want to be sold to. So the market really has come our way, and buyers have changed the way they buy. And so that growth slowed a little bit last year when budgets got cut, but we're seeing it explode again because, again, it's just a better way to buy. And all businesses are going through this, whether it's software companies or wastewater chemical treatment companies or foreign currency exchange companies. We have clients in all of those areas.
What do people do wrong with marketing? Talk to the small business owner or the business person.
Number one, they don't invest in it. I mean, that'd be the biggest thing. And then number two, they don't treat it like they do every other part of the business. It is trackable. It is measurable. You should know exactly where you're getting your return in marketing. You know, the old joke for the CEO was, I know I'm wasting half of my money in marketing. I just don't know which half. Well, today, because everything's done online and because there's so much software out there that allows you to track what people are responding to and what they're not responding to, you can know which half. And so if you're one of those, you know, 90% of marketers out there who's still doing it the old way, then you can do better.
What should a company be spending on a marketing budget under 50 employees? Range.
Under 50 employees, you ought to. If you're in a growth area, you ought to be spending 10% of your revenues in marketing. You know, if you're in a non-growth area, maybe 6%.
What about over 50 employees generally?
I think those percentages work based on the growth or not. It really depends on your industry. If your industry is growing, you should be spending in marketing, and you can spend up to 15% of your revenues in marketing in a fast-growing market. If you're in a slow-growing market and you're trying to make money, then it's 5-6% of your money in marketing.
Joe, I want to thank you for being on Leaders Portfolio. Appreciate it.
I'm really glad you had me.
Joe Payne, CEO of Eliqua, here with us on Leaders Portfolio. Of course, you can find his interview at leadersportfolio.com. Thanks to our sponsors, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk. Back after this.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Be the first to know who won our Leaders Portfolio Awards. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list. Be the first to know if your company won the Leadership Business of the Year. Sign up for our mailing list. Host Rebecca Blacksmith speaks to organizations about leadership. Find out where on our mailing list. Learn about guest interviews and leadership advice. Visit leadersportfolio.com and sign up for our mailing list.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.